In your Bibles this morning, the very back of your Bibles, Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. One verse of scripture, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, we thank you so much for the promises in the word of God. And Lord, how gracious you are. Lord, and how powerful you are. How ever present you are in our midst. Lord, I thank you this morning that your presence is here, moving right now, knocking on heart's doors. And God, we give you all the praise and glory. Lord, forgive us where we have failed you this week and fallen so short. And Lord, we just want you to be lifted up that you might draw people to you. For it's in Christ's precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Imagine it's Saturday morning and you're out working in the yard. And if you're like me, the other day I raked leaves and I blew leaves with a blower. And I was blowing those leaves and they'd been mulched and you know how they are. They're all little bitty pieces. Well, when I got through, I had more leaves on me than the yard did. I had, you feel on top of your head and it's just covered with little leaves, dirt. Imagine you're like that and the sweat and the grind and all of a sudden you come in to have a glass of tea or something and there's a knock on your door. And you go to the front door and let's say, for instance, there's the President of the United States there. And wouldn't you feel ashamed? I would. I know some of you women, when we come by to visit and you're not quite got your house ready, you say, oh, preacher, don't come in today. Come back later. And it's not right time. And I say, I understand. My wife's the same way. But just imagine, right now, somebody more important than the President of the United States or any other official is knocking at your heart's door. You see, it's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's knocking at your heart's door and he wants to come in today. He wants to clean out the dirt and sweep out the dust and let the light of Jesus Christ remove that darkness that's in your life. You know, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that means every one of us today, we have fallen short of what God really wants us to be. Amen? I can look at my life and I know I've fallen short. I'm not, I don't say I'm perfect. Man, I fall so short of the glory of God that I wonder sometimes, Lord, how do you put up with me? But I know that God has knocked on my heart's door many times. And oh, I let him come in years ago. But still, sometimes I just have to get before him and confess my sin to him, for that's what he wants. It's for his children to talk to him and pray with him and invite him in our lives and work on our lives. You know, the heart of grief and guilt is removed when Jesus comes in. And he changes our heart. Oh, I tell you what, I know this application here is mostly to the churches, but let me tell you, it stands good for all who are lost today without God in their life. You see, it shows me when I read this word, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's a picture that really is amazing. That word behold means listen. Stop what you're doing and listen. Even our Lord knew it would be hard to believe that the one who created this heaven and this earth, the one who made the heavens out there, would stand at the heart's door wanting to gain an entrance this morning. I don't know about your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you're right with God. Praise the Lord for that. Then you be in prayer for the person next to you. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never been saved. You've never been reborn. You've never invited Jesus Christ into your life. He stands at the door and knocks this morning, wanting to gain an entrance in your life. That's amazing, isn't it? That the God who created the heavens and the earth is knocking on our heart, wanting to gain an entrance. And then you see the presence of Jesus Christ. You see, a lost sinner, usually we have no time for God, amen? We have no time for God. Most of the time they don't even care about the gospel. There's more people today caring more about who's going to win the Super Bowl than about their life and what's going to come at the end of it. And they're not thinking about the gospel on this Sunday morning. Don't even think about the Lord, the one who gives life, the one who gives us the breath that we can take in this life. Yet the Lord God stands at the door and knocks. The Lord who says, the doors I open, no man can shut, and the doors I shut, no man can open. He's the one standing at your heart's door this morning, knocking. Think about that just for a moment. He stands knocking at the sinner's heart today. You know, that ought to tell you just how valuable you are this morning to the Lord. Think about it. Our great God loves you so much that he stands knocking at your door. You are valuable to God. And you know what? He does it right here. He doesn't send a substitute. In cases in the Bible, when he was going to announce the birth of his son, he sent Gabriel down, the angel, and cried out to announce his son's birth. When David was in trouble and praying, Michael came down and fought the devil. But here, Jesus Christ comes himself. Now that's amazing, that God thinks so much of you that he came to earth himself. And he's still looking, he's still seeking, he's still knocking, he's still waiting for you to let him come in. Oh, how many times has he knocked on my heart's door and I wouldn't open the door for him? How many times has he knocked on your heart's door and you wouldn't open the door for him? We heard testimonies last Sunday night or Wednesday night, or, man, things go by so quick. I don't know what night it was, but we heard testimonies about people said the Lord was moving in their life and they just held on to that pew and they wouldn't let go. Maybe that's you this morning. He's knocking on your life, in your heart, and you're standing there saying, no, 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 God. Not today. Some other day, Lord, but not today. You see, we don't seek God, do we? But he seeks us. And he's standing there patiently saying, yes, yes, today I'm knocking. Today I want you to come. Today I want you to be born again. You see, in the Bible, he says in the Garden of Eden, it was him that sought Adam and Eve. They were hiding from him, but he was seeking them out. In the parable of the lost sheep, it's the shepherd who looks for his sheep. And even in the lost son, folks, the story, the parable of the lost son, the son didn't seek the father. The father never moved. He was standing there looking for his son to come home. And I believe that's what God is doing this morning all over this church, he's knocking at people's heart's door and saying, listen to me. I want you to trust me as your Lord and Savior. I want to come in today into your life. And you know what? If you've already invited him into your life, he's still knocking on your heart door saying, listen, I want to give you joy, abundant life. And I want you to do this for me, and I want you to do that. You see, God wants you to be in his service. Man, we don't have to look for Jesus. He's looking for you and I this morning. All we have to do, he said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, I will come in. You see, we see the power of Jesus. We see the presence of Jesus. And now the patience of Jesus. Our sovereign God can do anything he pleases. Isn't that amazing? God can do whatever he wants to do. He could walk through the door in your life if he wanted to. But let me tell you something. He is a gracious God. The Lord never forces himself upon anyone. He will not go where he is not welcomed. Had you ever thought of that? He never went where he was not welcome, nor did he stay at a place where he was not welcome. Brother Perry was talking about the demon-possessed man the other night in Mark. And you know what? God came into that area. Man, that area was dark. They needed the Savior there. And there was a demon-possessed man that came out of the caves. There were several we heard the other night. But yet this one man, he was possessed by the devil. And Jesus cast the demons out of him in the herd of swine. They run off in the cliff. And you know what? The people got mad. And they said, why don't you leave? And you know what Jesus did? He left. You see, he does not go where he's not welcome. But he stands at your heart's door and knocks because he loves you. And he wants to come into your life. And he wants to change that darkness in your life to light. He says, I am the light of the world. Oh, let me tell you, he can change the misery that we have in life into joy in life. But he will not force himself on you. He will not force himself into that door. He says, you must open the door. Because he knows what he's offering us, he invites us to open that door. He's offering us not just life eternal, but life more abundant right here while we're on earth. Man, the greatest thing that ever happened to me was in 1975, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Man, it made a difference in my life. And see, I believe Jesus does make a difference in your life. Somebody said, well, you know, I got saved when I was a little boy, and he hadn't made much difference in my life. Well, let me tell you something. You better look back and see if you really invited Christ in. You see, sometimes we don't really invite him in because when I was 8 years old, I did the same thing. I came down the aisle and I shook hands with the preacher. I even baptized in one of the greatest rivers in East Texas, Angelina. Boy, it's kind of like the Jordan River. It's dirty. It was muddy. But let me tell you something. I was dirty when I went in and I was dirty when I came out because I never got saved. I went down just because other people went down. And folks, that don't get you saved. You see, I never really opened the door for Christ to come in my life. Oh, I grew up religious. I grew up in church. I grew up as a little boy playing the piano for my father. He led song service and everybody just, oh, how precious Brother Little Booney is. Boy, but I was a little booger on the inside. Man, I tell you what. But when I was in 1975, I got married to one of the most precious wife you could ever have. I don't even know where she's at this morning. She may be sick, I tell you. She's not here. She did get sick, okay? I knew she left Sunday school. She was sick. But you know what? I can talk about her now. I tell you, I can't talk loud, because you will tell her, I guarantee you. You tell her she's the best wife you ever have. She really is the most precious woman that I've ever met, and I just love her to death. I tell you, the Lord put us together, 45 years ago, I believe it is. I can say that because she don't remember either. But we've been married a long time, and the Lord has blessed us with a good life, I tell you. But you know what? When we invited, she got saved with me. She made the same decision. She wanted to be baptized with me, and we made that commitment to God, and God started using us. I wasn't called to preach then, folks. I was just a paint contractor, and God started using us, and man, I tell you what, He used us in a mighty way. We've met a lot of people, and then He called me into the ministry in 1979, and I was in Devil's Lake, North Dakota, and it was so cold. I said, Lord, you know, call me anywhere, but don't call me here. And He sent me back to Texas and called me to Gun Barrel, and I thought, man, I should stay in North Dakota. Now, it's been great. The life that God gives us is an abundant life. Folks, if you don't have that, that's what God wants to give you. He wants us to live, I mean, and really live. You know, He has a solution to every problem that we have. He has an answer to all our questions. He has a cure for every disease. Jesus Christ is present in our life, and He's patient with us in our life, but yet He's also persistent in our life. He continues today to stand at the door and knock, so that no one can ever say that Jesus didn't give me an opportunity. You can't say that. Year 2000, I guess it was, we went to Africa, and I didn't want to go. I said, I'm not going unless we get 10 people in this church to go. And I figured, well, God will never get 10 people to go, so I'm pretty safe. Guess what? 10 people wanted to go. He knew exactly what I was going. I went. I was mad at myself, mad at God, mad at kind of everybody. And I kept saying, God, why in the world did you send me to Africa? On the very last week that I was walking through the bush, we had walked miles and miles. Back then I could walk miles and miles. And let me tell you something. The last little village that we come to had a little lady sitting on a 5-gallon bucket, and had a board across the top of it, and had her drinking water in that bucket. And my translator says, she wants to talk to you about Jesus. And I began to share with her about Jesus, and she began to, you know, so cracked was her face and so dry. Man, she said, I've been waiting 95 years for somebody to tell me about Jesus. 95 years old, the average lifespan there is 45. But she had been waiting on God for 95 years. And I got to share Christ with her, and she invited Christ into her heart. And you know what? It didn't stop there. When I started to leave, she began to make a little sounds, and she said, I said, what does she want? She said, she wants you to read another passage of Scripture to her. And so I got my little Bible out, and I said, this is my favorite passage of Scripture, and I want her to listen. So I would say, the translator would say what it was to her so she would understand. And I started with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And the translator said, the Lord is my shepherd. And about the time I started to say, I shall not want, she said, the Lord is my shepherd, in Swahili. I said, what'd she say? She's repeating it after us. Oh, man, tears were rolling down my eyes. Tears were rolling down her eyes. Tears were rolling down the translator's eyes. And when I started walking off from that little village down a long grassy little trail, I looked back and she was waving. And it was like the heavens opened up, folks. And God said, "That's the reason you came." Well, I started bawling. I was crying. I said, "You know, God, I'm so ashamed of my life. Because you could have used anybody, but you chose me." And I said, "Lord, I don't deserve those kind of blessings. But yet our God is a patient God. Man, he has the cure for everything. Jesus is knocking on your door. He knocks in times of hardships. He knocks in times of trouble. God knocks through a sermon like this. God knocks through a Sunday school class, through the teacher when he tells. God knocks through a song like we heard the choir sing. God knocks through the music that we heard the organist and piano play. God is always knocking on people's door. You see, R.A. Torrey, a famous Bible teacher, I like to read his books. I believe it was him that said that he rebelled against God. He didn't want anything to do with God. His little mother prayed for him and prayed for him on her knees, praying for him. And at one time, at a low point in his life, he said he was about to take a gun and kill himself. Commit suicide. And right before he pulled the trigger, he saw a vision of his mother praying. And he got on his knees before God and said, "God, would you come into my life?" And what a man of God he was. Listen, folks, God uses many different ways to reach us for Christ. But let me tell you something. He stands at the door knock on your heart so that you can't say, "I didn't have an opportunity to come to Christ." That's a picture of his that is amazing, isn't it? And then he gives us a promise that is assuring. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, listen to what he says, "I will come in." You must hear his call. Now, "hear" means more than just a rumbling sound. A lot of you hear my voice every Sunday morning. A lot of you hear your wife or your children or someone else. But that's what you do, just hear. But hear means you take it in. It's not hearing, but it's taking the Word of God in. It's really listening. You see, a lot of times my wife says something, and I say, "Uh-huh." I had never heard a word she said. She said, "What did I say to you?" I don't know. She said, "Now listen to me." And let me tell you what, I listened that time. You see, hearing means you hear his command. It's not enough just to hear him knocking this morning. You must open the door, you see. A man does not become a Christian by chance. It's not that way. A man becomes a Christian by choice. He chooses to believe the Word of God. When God's Word said, "All have sinned," you choose to believe. Listen, he's speaking to me. When he says, "I will come in," you choose to open the door and let him come in. You see? There's one choice that God will not make for you, and that is opening the door. He loves you. He died for you, and he gave his son for you. But he says, "You must receive me and be obedient to my command. Open the door." I knew the way to heaven when I was a young man. I grew up in church, but I didn't open the door. I heard. My grandmother prayed for us. My father prayed for us. My mother prayed for us. I'm talking about all the kids we had. But I didn't open the door until I was 21 years old. You see, I need a way to heaven. I've been all through the Bible. But I didn't open the door. I really didn't hear by faith. You must say yes to Jesus and open the door. Found this little poem. There is a Savior who stands at the door of our heart. He's longing to enter. Why let him depart? He has patiently called you so often before, but always 'tis true. You must open the door. And if you open the door, he will honor your commitment. He said, I will come in. And this is the promise of God. If you sincerely want him to come into your life and change your life and you're willing to repent of your sin and turn to him, he said, I will give you eternal life. I will come in your life. Somebody said, well, I did that when I was a young guy, but I didn't feel nothing. It's not a feeling. You know, you might have a feeling about it, but it's really not a feeling. It's based on God's faithfulness. You see, he says, I will come in, and I believe that with all my heart. You know, I don't always live a perfect life, but I know God is there because his Holy Spirit is living in me, and when I do something wrong, he says, that was wrong. And he convicts me of that, and I have to turn and say, Lord, I am sorry for that. I messed up again. Boy. And a presence that is abiding. Look what it says. He is there to stay. I will come in forever. What a thrill it is to have God living in your life. You see, I enjoy fellowship with you. I enjoy fellowship with God right here on earth. I can have a happy spell driving down the highway. Man, just singing his praises. I love to sing, man. I tell you what, there's a song that I sing, and oh, you know, it sounds so good in that pickup. You roll down the window and the people listening to you next side may think, oh, he's crazy. But it sounds good to me in that pickup, you know. Nobody's there but me and God, and he doesn't complain as long as you're praising him. He said, I will come in and dine with you. Listen to that, dine with you. Did you hear me? Jesus says, as a guest, he comes in and he abides as a host. Sharing a meal in the middle of the East, in the Middle East, was symbolic of a deep friendship. When someone said, I want you to come in and dine with me, that meant you were welcome guest. You were a devoted friend where they would get to know one another and fellowship with one another. Jesus, man, you know, a lot of times we come in, we say, we invite somebody over for finger foods and a snack. That's not bad, but you know, Jesus has a full course meal. Man, he don't just invite you in for a snack. It's a feast. A feast fit for a king. He wants to come into your heart, give you abundant life, and all that he offers is yours. When he prepares the table, I like the 23rd Psalm. He said, I prepare a table before you. Nobody can cook quite like our Lord and Savior, man. I have had a little article said this. When you sit down at his table that he has prepared, he gives you heavenly hash. Man, that's good. Divine dumplings, supernatural soup, and he tops it off with an angel food cake. Man, Jesus prepares a feast for us. And you know what? We enjoy his favor forever. To him that overcomes, he said, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. That just tells me after you retire from supper, man, you go to the throne room of God, and the Bible says we will rule and reign with him forever. Now, you know what? I would gladly be a doorkeeper at the door of Jesus. But that's not what he says. Jesus said, I will rule and reign with him. And that's a promise of God. You may drink at the table in fellowship, but you'll rule and reign because that's a favor of Christ. And the only one who overcomes are those who have Jesus Christ in their heart. He's knocking on your door this morning. Like I said, I don't know who's saved and who's not saved, but you know what? I know that Jesus is there, and he's knocking, and you personally know that if you've ever opened the door and let him come in. Will you open it today if you haven't? Will you give your life to him today? There's an old hymn says, if you're tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you would like a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now, your doubtings give o'er. Just now, reject him no more. Just now, open the door. Let Jesus come in to your heart. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't know who's lost here and who's not, but I know that you do. And I know that some just need to repent of their sins. Some need to just have a closer fellowship with you. Some here may be looking for a church home. Lord, I don't know the decisions, but you do. And Lord, I know that you are knocking on the heart's doors this morning. And Lord, if you knocked on someone's door and they realize for the first time, you know, I don't have Christ in my heart, and they would like to, Lord, let them step out by faith and come down. And by coming down, they're saying, listen, Lord, I want you to come into my heart, and I'm fixing to confess you before this church that I have opened the door, and the Bible says you will come in. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.